Coming up, Muslims in Germany, where integration is talked about more than it's practiced.
The number of people that don't want to live together with Muslims, that don't want to have a mosque in their neighborhood, this number is rising.
Plus, controversy over the Eastern hands-on treatment called Reiki. Advocates, including some Catholic nuns, say it promotes healing. But the U.S. Catholic bishops say Reiki is not compatible with Christianity. And the discipline and spiritual rewards of Ramadan.
It's very special to see that mosque just packed with people. It's such a warm, wonderful feeling to be around so many people who all have this goal of pleasing God.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're yourretirementcompany.com. Also by the Henry Luce Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Welcome. I'm Deborah Potter, sitting in for Bob Abernethy. Thanks for joining us. Religious groups expressed both outrage and approval this week after a federal judge overturned California's ban on same-sex marriage. The judge ruled that marriage is a constitutional right, regardless of sexual orientation. The Catholic and Mormon churches, evangelical groups, and Orthodox Jews all denounced the ruling. Many said marriage between a man and a woman is a bedrock of society. Many liberal Christians and Jews called the decision a victory for justice and equality. In New York, the so-called Ground Zero Mosque got a green light this week from a city commission. Plans to build an Islamic center two blocks from the site of the 9/11 attacks have drawn protests from many, including the Jewish Anti-Defamation League. Mayor Michael Bloomberg defended the project as a symbol of American religious tolerance. In his words, to cave in to popular sentiment would be to hand a victory to the terrorists. Opponents have now sued to block the project. In France, a bill that would ban wearing a full Islamic veil in public could become law next month. The pending vote by the French Senate is just one indication of the struggle in many Western European countries over how to deal with a large and growing population of Muslim immigrants. It's a major concern in Germany, where the majority talks of integration but doesn't always practice it. Muslims there say they want equal opportunity, but they don't want to lose their religious identity. It's a story I looked into in Berlin last fall. Almost 90% of the students at Rainbow Elementary School in Berlin are from immigrant families, most of them Muslim. Fitting in can be tough because a lot of them can't speak German, even though many of their families have been here for decades.
When I started being a teacher more than 30 years ago, I thought that problem we won't have in 10 years. They all will speak German, but they don't.
Heidrun Böhmer has watched her students struggle to succeed. About 75% never finish high school, more than double the national rate. In school and the outside world, their chances are limited by a complicated mix of social and economic issues, religion, and history. Muslim immigrants, mainly from Turkey, first came here in large numbers in the 1960s, when Germany was facing a severe labor shortage. They were called guest workers, but most of them never went home. Instead, they brought their families and settled in neighborhoods like Neukölln in Berlin, where shop signs are in Turkish and Arabic, and satellite dishes bring in programs from back home. Storefront mosques are tucked behind fruit stands. Until 10 years ago, immigrants could not become German citizens, and they still don't have a chance at most government jobs. Integration just hasn't happened.
People who live here since 40, 50 years, were born here in the third generation, are understood as foreigners, are understood as immigrants, while they are not. They just have a different faith. So this debate leads to people thinking about their neighbors as problematic because they do have a different faith.
Today, Germany has about 4 million Muslims, 5% of the population, making Islam the second largest religion.
Germany has more Muslims than Lebanon and twice as many mosques as the United States. Young Muslims here describe themselves as more religious than their parents in a country where few Christians go to church. Berlin is sometimes called the atheist capital of Europe. But while religious freedom is enshrined in the German Constitution, public schools are required to offer Christian religious instruction. Leaders of Muslim organizations are now demanding Islamic religious instruction as well, and tensions are growing.
The number of people that don't want to live together with Muslims, that don't want to have a mosque in their neighborhood, this number is rising.
According to public opinion polls, the vast majority of Germans associate Islam with violence and terrorism, and they resent what they see as too many Muslims sponging off the German welfare system. But the country's strong social safety net may be one reason why Germany has not seen the kind of violence that scorched Muslim neighborhoods in France a few years ago. Young Muslims there took to the streets angry about unemployment and police brutality. Nothing like that has happened in Germany, even though the jobless rate in some Muslim neighborhoods hovers near 50%.
If there is no easy opportunity, or if they can't make as much money as they get from the state as welfare money, they don't work, of course. It's not that they don't want to work, it's just reasoning, and they are rational people.
Barbara Yon has spent 30 years dealing with integration issues, a task complicated by the fact that Germany has never had a policy of limiting immigration.
It's part of our history of Nazi times. We were guilty, and we still feel guilty, especially when it comes to minorities and to accepting people who are persecuted. And once we were ourselves able to give it, we could hardly say no. And now immigrants come and they want to live in Germany, they want to be proud of this country, and the Germans themselves are not. So integration is difficult for these minorities.
Guten, herzlich willkommen. Und wie geht's Ihnen?
The government is now trying to help, offering subsidized language and culture classes for adults at a cost of about $200 million a year. But those who sign up don't always come.
Well, some of them, they're not interested. They're not interested. But some of them, they have many problems here, the immigrations. Problems that we can't understand. Problems with the Office of Foreign Engineer, problems with job, to find a job.
The problems are all too apparent to Ender Chetin, who says Muslims want more than equal job opportunities. They want to feel truly accepted.
We feel many, many attacks, not violence, but in words. Feel many, many kind of discrimination. This make us also afraid a little bit, as a distance. That's not so good for integration.
Chetin was born in Germany but chose to retain his parents' Turkish citizenship rather than give it up as required by law to become a German citizen. As a spokesman for the biggest mosque in Berlin, he now gives tours to school groups hoping to make Islam seem less threatening.
We have many, many questions also in this year's, and the questions are always the same. The questions is terrorism and Islam. Can it be together?
Not every Muslim are terrorists, something like that, yeah? And sometimes in the TV it looks like that, every Muslim it's like terrorist. It's not true.
Erdinç Sinac came here from Turkey at age 5 and recently became a German citizen.
Yeah. I go to school, learn very good German. For me, it's okay, and I have no problems.
In the long term, Germany needs immigrants. The country's birth rate is one of the lowest in Europe, the cost of its social programs among the highest.
We have to consider these people as our future too. They are their children, the children of the immigrants are our children, are the children in Germany, they are the children of everybody, and we have to care for them and look after them and give them a better education, give them a good education. So why shouldn't they be successful? There is everything in human nature that can make them successful, and we are a country that has money and we have educators, so we should improve our system.
But there's a long way to go. Other Western democracies have similar problems, but a new study by an international economic group says Germany does about the worst job of providing equal opportunities for immigrants and their children.
In Pakistan, religious groups are responding to the worst flooding the country has seen in nearly a century. More than 1,500 people have been killed and thousands are homeless. International organizations, including World Vision and Islamic Relief USA, are trying to get supplies to the victims, but blocked roads and damaged bridges have made it difficult to reach them. The Catholic Church has condemned a U.S. decision to allow the first clinical trials of embryonic stem cells in humans. The Food and Drug Administration approved the tests on patients with severe spinal cord injuries. The Vatican calls the use of stem cells from human embryos morally a crime. Catholic opposition to an Eastern healing technique called Reiki hasn't stopped some nuns from using it. The U.S. Catholic bishops say the practice is unscientific and incompatible with Christianity. Reiki is often described as spiritual healing. It's popular in New Age treatment centers and spas, and also used in many hospitals and clinics, some of them Catholic. Kim Lawton reports on the controversy over this age-old alternative therapy.
At the Core El Centro Natural Healing Center in Milwaukee, Sister Madeline Gianforte is using Reiki on one of her clients. In this Eastern healing technique, practitioners place their hands on or above someone in an effort to enhance the body's flow of energy. They say that can lead to physical and spiritual healing.
As a practitioner, I'm just facilitating that energy, but you are doing your own healing in the sense of connecting to the divine and the healing that happens within.
Gianforte is a nun with the Sisters of St. Agnes. She's also a trained Reiki master. She says Reiki fits well with her faith.
It's an incredibly spiritual, prayerful experience for me. It calms the inner part of my being so much that I can tap that deepest place, that core place of who I am.
But the U.S. Catholic bishops say Reiki is superstition, and they've urged Catholics not to provide or support it. Reverend Tom Wynandy is executive director of the Bishop's Doctrine Committee.
The problem that we had with Reiki in the end was that we felt it sort of fell between the crack, that it was neither really a medical or a scientific technique, nor was it a religious technique that was compatible with Christianity.
Reiki, with its strong emphasis on the spiritual, was developed in Japan in the early 20th century. Using various hand positions, practitioners help their clients access what they call a universal life force, a spiritual or divine energy force. They claim that energy force can reduce stress and accelerate the body's natural healing process. A favorite of New Age centers, Reiki is also increasingly used in hospitals and medical clinics.
I did a lot of Reiki with my mom when she had cancer. She was very, very sick with chemo and radiation. And one of the greatest things for her was that it alleviated a lot of the side effects and the symptoms of radiation and chemo. And then ultimately in her final stages, it kind of allowed her to peacefully go.
Gianforte helped found the non-sectarian Core El Centro is a place where everyone, but especially low-income people, could have access to alternative medicine and natural healing techniques. Reiki is one of many practices here based on an Eastern holistic philosophy focusing on the body, the mind, and the spirit.
If the spirit isn't addressed and only the body is, a complete healing won't be possible.
Lori Lumby-Schmidt uses Reiki in her ministry as a spiritual director.
There's a wide range of things that people can experience. But it does tend to be much more profound than just straight relaxation.
Schmidt did her Reiki training, or attunements, with Catholic nuns, who she says taught it from a Christian perspective.
When I really look at Jesus' ministry and what he was all about, it was about healing. And he empowered his disciples to do the same thing. You know, he commissioned them to go out and heal.
But the Catholic bishops say they received more and more questions about Reiki, so they commissioned a study and last year released guidelines which said a Catholic who puts his or her trust in Reiki would be operating in the realm of superstition. And the guidelines concluded it would be inappropriate for Catholic institutions such as Catholic healthcare facilities and retreat centers, or persons representing the church, such as Catholic chaplains, to promote or provide support for Reiki therapy.
God is God and human beings are human beings, and we can petition God, but we can't manipulate him. And we felt that this is what was happening within the context of Reiki, that the person learned how to be in touch with the divine cosmic forces such that they could now manipulate it through laying on a hands or massage or something, that the person could be healed.
Many Reiki supporters were taken aback by the statement's tone.
It's not a religion. It's just a practice that assists people in connecting more deeply to the more spiritual soul places within themselves. So I was pretty surprised by that.
The document said the church recognizes two kinds of healing: natural means through the practice of medicine, and healing by God's divine grace. In the Christian tradition, there is the sacramental anointing with oil and the laying on of hands.
Christians can pray for one another, lay hands on a sick person, and ask Jesus to heal them. But you're not channeling divine energies through your hands.
Wynandi says sometimes individuals or even places, such as the pilgrimage site in Lourdes, France, appear to have a special gift of healing. But he says physical healing is never guaranteed, and it's always up to the will of God.
It's not that he loves one person more than the other, but we don't know why the Lord would heal one and not another person, but it is a mystery.
Compassionate and loving God.
Reiki practitioners deny that they're trying to manipulate God.
You can tell when you're facilitating and sharing Reiki with someone that you're not guiding it. You know, you can tell that there's a higher power that is doing the work.
Schmidt says she chooses to give the credit to God.
For me, Reiki is another form of prayer. It's allowing myself to be a vessel through which God's healing can then be experienced by the person that's receiving the Reiki.
If you try to plug Reiki into Christianity, what you're saying is Jesus is not good enough on his own. He's got to be supplemented by something else. In this case, the divine forces. So you're either downgrading Jesus in Christianity or you're taking the heart out of Reiki.
The bishop's document is not a mandate, and local dioceses may implement it as they choose. But Reiki supporters say it's already had a chilling effect. Many Catholic institutions, including hospitals and retreat centers, are no longer offering Reiki. And most nuns are reluctant to publicly speak about their use of Reiki.
Some people, I think, find comfort in the perceived security of a black and white theology. And Reiki doesn't fit within that black and white theology. And so in those kind of situations, there tends to be judgment, there tends to be fear, there tends to be reaction.
Schmidt says she's sad the bishops would oppose something that has meant so much to her spiritually.
I see Reiki as being life-giving. It definitely flows out of my relationship with God. It's drawn me closer in my relationship with God. I certainly have grown in my awe and wonder over how God can work in the world.
But church leaders say they believe Reiki is spiritually dangerous.
I want to stick with Jesus. I don't want to open myself up to other forces that may be, you know, supernatural in some sense, but not of God. I think it's a risky business to be playing around with this sort of thing.
While the theological debates continue, the National Institutes of Health has funded studies on the possible health benefits of Reiki. I'm Kim Lawton in Milwaukee.
On our calendar, Ramadan begins this week with the sighting of the new moon expected on Tuesday. During the month-long observance, Muslims fast every day from dawn to sunset and offer special prayers and gifts to the poor, all to become closer to God and neighbor. Last year during Ramadan, we talked with Abdul Malik Ahmad, a multimedia producer, musician, and martial arts teacher, and with his wife, Rahima Ulla, who shared with us their family's practices for Ramadan.
This week, it's towards the end of summer, and we were lucky enough to be able to enroll in this summer horseback riding camp. My sister Jasmine is the 16-year-old, and my 8-year-old daughter, Sakina, they're both in the camp, spiritually and mentally preparing for Ramadan in this natural setting. For me, nature, and for Muslims in general, nature is this great, awesome sign of God's creation. Muslims are very excited about Ramadan. A lot of people will describe it in a metaphorical sense of as expecting a month-long guest because of all the excitement surrounding it in terms of being with your family and establishing and re-establishing your relationship with God and those around you.
Assalamu alaikum.
We follow the lunar calendar, and so every year Ramadan moves up in the year. This year it's in the summertime. It's going to be more than 12 hours that no eating, no drinking the whole day. And you're still supposed to be doing all the things that you normally do. So yeah, it's a challenge, definitely, but I'm still looking forward to it. Two of the things that people look forward to every year during Ramadan would be the iftars, which is when we break our fasts at the end of the day at sunset, and then the prayers, the special Ramadan prayers that come after our evening prayers.
You're supposed to start fasting when you hit puberty, so for guys and girls, it's different ages.
I started my fast when I was 6. It was hard. I kept on breaking it by accident.
Really, what's encouraged is throughout the year, we should be fasting every once in a while as extra fasts.
I try as much as I can not only to fast in Ramadan, but also regularly throughout the year. It's usually suggested that we fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Those are the days where the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, fasted.
And during Ramadan, actually, being angry and acting on your anger breaks your fast. So it's very much an emotional discipline as well as a physical discipline.
Because the discipline that we practice in during Ramadan is the same kind of discipline that we try to promote in the martial arts. Restraining from anger, treating people properly, just taking care of yourself spiritually and physically. The martial arts style I do is called Pinchak Silat. You're supposed to use the skills that you learn for peace and for helping other people and not for violent means or violent reasons.
Ramadan is here.
As Native Dean in our songs, and we try to give Muslims pride about their faith. And also we teach other people a little bit about Islam. One of the things that we really wanted to promote in our song is this feeling of happiness. Ramadan's here, get close to God, fast, but also be happy. It's a time of hardship, yes, because you're fasting from sun up to sundown, but there's a lot of joy in it. We see families getting together for the iftar or the break fast.
It's very special to see that mosque just packed with people. It's such a warm, wonderful feeling to be around so many people who all have this goal of pleasing God. Even if we think our relationship with God and, you know, the people around us are great, there's always a way to get better. And so Ramadan is that really intense, focused way of doing that, of fasting and working on our own selves and then working on our relationships to others, and ultimately our relationship to God.
And there's this prayer that we always say is, grant us good in this life and good in the hereafter. A lot of the prayers that we do in Ramadan is really asking us for, in the next life, in paradise, and in heaven, that we obtain the highest levels of heaven to maybe see our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we're there.
To our Muslim viewers, Ramadan Mubarak. Well, American Idol it wasn't, but a reality show in Malaysia drew a huge audience just the same. The winner got a car and an all-expenses-paid trip to Mecca. The contestants on Young Imam had to sing verses from the Quran and prepare corpses for burial as they vied to become the country's top role model for young Muslims. That's our program for now. I'm Deborah Potter. We'd like to hear from you. You can follow us on our Facebook page. We also have much more on our website where you can comment on all of our stories and share them. Audio and video podcasts are also available. Join us at pbs.org.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're yourretirementcompany.com. Also by the Henry Luce Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.